Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 21st, 2011, episode 124, sponsored by EZSignsOnline.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, it's Thursday and it feels like Friday.
You know, it kind of does. I don't know why. I was just thinking, I'm really glad that in every show opener, that little music that you play after we say good morning, I'm really glad it says the day in it. Because for some reason, I mean, my little intro, I don't say it's Thursday, April 21st. I just say it's April 21st. I swear it could have been Friday today, but that thing reminds me every day what day it actually is. And I would like to point out that it is a very special day. Today is a holiday because badminton officially starts today. It's not yesterday like we thought. It actually starts today. So the jog up is today, which is a veterinary inspection of all the horses. So super exciting day of badminton. And that means it's actually exactly 1 week away till Rolex Kentucky 3-day event happens. I'm so excited. I'm going to Kentucky, baby. Next Wednesday.
Yes, I think we're trying to rush it. I think that's why we both thought it was Friday, because we really just want to get to next week.
I know. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. There's something that does, like, you know, the saying Winston Churchill said that there's something about the outside of a horse that's good for the inside of a man. I think there's something about the inside of Kentucky that's good for everything in a woman. I do. I like to just go and roll around in the bluegrass, you know. I don't know. Something about being there just makes me feel good. So you guys are lucky to live there. And how is the weather there, by the way? Because it's got to clear up before I get there.
Well, so today is going to be absolutely beautiful. It's going to be in the 60s and beautiful. No storms today. But then they're saying 100% chance of rain and storms all weekend. So we're hoping that we get it out of the way this weekend, and next week will be good.
Exactly. I don't care about this week. What's Rolex's forecast supposed to be?
Well, all right. Let me pull it up. By the way, we did see a report yesterday that there was no damage in the setup at Rolex from the storms the other night. So that was good. I'm just looking at the 10-day forecast here. Well, it only goes through Wednesday, and it says 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high in the lower 70s. So that's it only
20% is not bad. That's not bad.
So we'll know more. We'll know more over the weekend, beginning of next week. We'll see what we're going to have. You know what, though? You know, Kentucky weather changes every 5 minutes. So.
Oh, I'm not kidding you. I've been to Rolex and had, like, blistering hot, sunburn 90-degree, 100% humidity days, and then I have been freezing cold in the pouring rain walking around in cross country where almost all the horses retired because it was so rainy and muddy and there was lightning. I mean, so you can just never know what to expect for Rolex weekend. It's April in Lexington. You just don't know.
We had tornado warnings last year. Remember, they kicked everybody out of the park. Cross country ended. They said, everybody leave the park now. Don't chop. Don't do anything. Just get out of here.
Run for your lives.
Well, that'd be bad if you think about it. A tornado on Cross Country Day at Rolex with 50,000 people there?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'd be bad. Okay, I found the weather forecast. For next Friday, it says rain, 40% chance of rain. But Saturday, Cross Country Day, is sunny and 71. Woohoo!
Now, let's hope it is that. That'd be perfect. Perfect!
Yeah. Perfect.
Well, yes, next week at this time, we will be broadcasting from the trade fair at Rolex. We'll be joining you from there, all excited and giggly.
All right. Well, let's see what's coming up on today's show, because I can't wait to get to our daily winnies today.
Woohoo! On today's show, it's all about prevention. We start out with fire prevention with Bell Epic of Protect-O-Wire Company, and then we move on to bad joke prevention, so I'll need your help out there, listeners, because the more comments we get from you, the fewer bad puns Glenn has a chance to broadcast. And then
is it bad, Jennifer? Jennifer, is it bad that you say prevention and I immediately think birth control? You say that word, I'm like, oh, did I take a pill today? Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, let me alter this. Then we move to bad joke prevention, so I'll need your help out there, listeners, because the more comments we get from you, the fewer bad puns Glenn and Jamie have a chance to broadcast. And to round out the show, it looks like we've got Lisa from The Chronicle here, because it's Thursday, and of course, Rolex is going to be on the topic headlines now. So there we go.
From now until forever, yeah. Hey, Daily Winnie time. Woohoo, baby! We have another male listener that we heard from in an email yesterday. Jeffrey in New Hampshire wrote, "I am a recreational horse player," which means he's a gambler, and it's Kentucky Derby Oaks time. And I love how they recreational horse player. That sounds so much better than gambler, doesn't it?
That's a handicapper gambler right there. Way to go, Jeffrey!
I love that. He says, it's Kentucky Derby time, and I'm busy looking for news and notes to do my handicapping. So in addition to the Racing Form podcast, I downloaded a few of yours and listened to it at work. I absolutely had no idea what to expect. The seven stages of aging, from the falling off a horse, the jockey with the Shetland pony popcorn, and the pretty prison stories. Those were great. I never stopped laughing. You have a new listener. Last year, there was a horse running at Santa Anita named, I can't make this up. No, that's not the name, but that's what he says. Although that could be a good name. The name was Don't Sell Me to Felons. Don't Sell Me to Felons. That's a pretty good name.
That's great. All one word.
Welcome.
Don't Sell Me to Felons. Yeah.
There's a couple great things about Jeffrey. One, he's not a horse person. He goes on to say he's not a horse person. But he loved the show. That's terrific. He's a guy and likes the show. That's even better. Now there's five of us. And it looks like we got a new listener. How cool is that?
Wait. This is a male who is not a horse person that is listening to our show. I'm telling you, the guy should be getting government funding. He is such a minority that it is like that. He's one of four, really, and the only one that's not a horse owner or rider or husband. So, welcome, Jeffrey. I think you need to put in your paperwork with the government, and you should be getting subsidized.
We should be getting subsidized because obviously we're catering to minority groups right now. I think we are doing a service for minority groups. We've got horse husbands, which is like the biggest minority group ever. Jockeys with ponies named Popcorn. I mean, what more could the government want?
Yeah, I think you're right. And if that'll give me a raise, go ahead and you put in the paperwork. That'd be great.
Okay. All right, good.
All righty. Well, we were just talking talking about Rolex. And we've also had on the show several times is the rescue group called Canter. And Canter does a lot of racehorse rescue. I mean, the website, I think it's canter.org, they have a fantastic selection of horses you can adopt. And, I mean, they do a lot of training with them. They really, really work hard with them. Well, Canter, along with Smart Pack, are going to present an award of excellence to the highest placing ex racehorse at Rolex. Of course, the Lexington, Kentucky competition is the pinnacle of the eventing competition, the only 4-star one on this continent. And do you know how many of the 20 finishers last year were ex racehorses?
No, I don't actually.
Over half of them, 10 to 12 horses that finished last year were ex-racehorses. And this is a career change. I mean, you go from being a complete racehorse, flat running as fast as you can, to being a dressage horse, a cross-country jumper, and a show jumper. That's a great feat. And, you know, that's just what's so awesome about the Thoroughbreds. I just love them. And having an ex-racehorse and having had ex-racehorses my whole life, I'm just so excited that they're going to be honored. And maybe that'll bring a little bit more awareness to the ex-racehorse, because there's so many people now are going with the warm bloods or the Irish horses or any of those horses to event. And you know what? The ex-racehorses are the ones that are getting it done. So I'm excited. Canter and Smart Pack, I'm so glad you're honoring the Thoroughbred at Rolex.
You know, for years, the warm bloods had overtaken the Thoroughbreds, and now in the last 2 years, many of the top riders say that they are going back to Thoroughbreds because they're finding that they're, as you said, they're getting the job done a little bit better than the big warm bloods. So you're seeing a trend now in eventing going back to the Thoroughbreds, and thank God for that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many to choose from. And, you know, the warm bloods, and with the addition of dressage becoming so much more important score-wise, that people were getting warm bloods and kicking everybody's butt with these fancy warm bloods, but in the dressage portion of it. But, my God, you cannot beat on a Rolex 4-star course a Thoroughbred with just the biggest heart in the world just going out there. And they're so fast, too. So, I'm just excited they're getting honored. But we actually, on a side note, completely different note, this is the whiplash effect here. We actually are struggling for tomorrow. We need our listeners' help, Glenn, for tomorrow's show. We desperately
yes,
need their help.
Yes, we do. Because it's really Mad Ants Friday. That wasn't
that
me.
Was
I didn't
so late.
It is. It's really Bad Ants Friday. And we need help tomorrow because we need – Jennifer's gotten a couple ads in, but she hasn't gotten enough. So we need you to submit your really bad ads, whether it's from Craigslist or any of the websites, wherever it's from. If you see a really bad horse ad or an ad for a product or – what was the winner last week? Wasn't even a horse, was it? If I remember right.
It was a Pooper Scooper or something, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It was something completely different. So if you just see a really bad ad relating to a horse, send it to Jennifer, that's J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, at horseradionetwork.com, and we'll get it on the air tomorrow. Tomorrow's winner will receive a personalized stall nameplate from Easy Signs Online. You can get anything you want on it. So it's a custom stall nameplate worth $30 from EasySignsOnline.com. So please do submit your really bad ads today. It's a fun segment. Everybody seems to enjoy it. So I've only gotten one negative email about the really bad ads. They thought it was that we were condescending and everything, and that's kind of
aww,
the point of the whole segment. So I'm okay with that.
We're kind of making fun of people because they
yeah,
make fun of themselves. You know what? If we're not making fun of individuals, we're just pointing it out, really. I mean, like they did it to themselves by publishing this stuff. So, you know, if you want to find a really good, really bad ad, really good, really bad ad, go to Craigslist. You cannot beat free posting. When people can post things for free, they don't spell check. They don't, like, do grammatical corrections at all. It is literally one run-on sentence, either all uppercase or all lowercase, and misspellings, and it's really fun to read.
Well, I am going to make an effort to find one for tomorrow, too, so... for the first time, I'm going to dive into the ads, and I'm going to come up with one tomorrow. So I'll have one for you tomorrow, too.
There's got to be, like, really good, really bad ads located in cities outside of Lexington or Louisville. I mean,
yeah, we just need to look at rural Kentucky. We should be
Yeah, you know what? You know what disturbs me about going to Kentucky? One of the things is the pronunciations of the cities. It is embarrassing. Like, it's not Versailles. Okay, it's Versailles. It's Versailles.
That's
and
correct.
It's,
yeah,
it's
that Versailles. Is right.
But the one that gets me is you've got, you know, I grew up in Atlanta where the University of Georgia is in Athens, Georgia. And then you've got, you know, obviously Athens, Greece. What do they call Athens in Kentucky? Athens. Are you kidding me? Athens? I refused to say it when I lived there. I was like, I'm not. They're like, it's Athens. I'm like, no, it's not. Well, yes, it
and
is. That's
say,
what we say. It's Athens. No, no.
And don't
no,
say Louisville
not.
Wrong either. Don't say Louisville
wrong. Oh, God.
Wrong.
It's just,
I made that mistake for the first year I lived here.
What'd you call it?
Louisville. Louisville. Like it's spelled. Louisville. You know,
Louisville.
I can't even hardly say it wrong
you
anymore.
You can't even say it the other way anymore. It's like you have shock treatment.
It's Louisville.
I did say it wrong the first year, and I can't even say it. Hey, Robert says on Facebook, by the way, go follow us there at Horses in the Morning on Facebook. To your comment about the not taking your pill today, he says, too much information, Jamie. And then he says, Jamie, maybe they would let you train Zenyatta to be an inventor. Mm.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. They actually said she would never be ridden again. Unless you're talking about my dog, Zenyatta, then that might happen. Maybe she jumps across country jumps. I got a better chance of competing my puppy than I do the actual Zenyatta. So whatever. That's never going to happen. And TMI, Robert, thank you very much. I didn't even know that your fat rolls were called something, which is what he posted yesterday. So good Lord.
Good morning, Robert. So I have a clip here that I'd love to play. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, you think I'd know, Robert, the way we give each other a hard time, and it's just via Facebook.
I know. Are we really, he's called in a couple times here to harass us in person, though. So, Robert, if you're in the mood, or if anybody's in the mood, you can give us a call at 347-637-3238. Well, I do have a clip for you. Remember a couple of weeks ago we had Stephanie Rhodes-Bosch, the eventer, on, who was heading to badminton in England for the first time with her horse Port Authority, and she was trying to get enough money together because it's so expensive to do that. And she actually did make it to England, and our friend Samantha from Eventing Nation did a little bit of an interview with her, and we're going to play that for you right now. So here's Stephanie Rhodes-Bosch. Right, I think it was her first day. She was actually at the on the grounds of badminton.
So, Steph, here you are. You're actually in England at badminton. How does it feel?
It's still a little bit hard to actually wrap your head around it, but it feels good to actually have arrived. All the travel and everything is finally over.
Yeah.
Get to settle in.
And the stables are a sort of hive of activity, and Ollie's watching it all carefully. He's got the stable right by the door, but he's doing well. David rode him this morning, you said?
Yeah, well, we both rode him. I rode him first, and then David got on to just make sure everything was the way it looked, and he looked fantastic on him, and then I got back on, and of course, feels even better after he's had a turn. But yeah, I mean, he settled in at Maisie Manor really well and has progressively gotten better and better under saddle, so I think by Saturday, he'll be really good.
Yeah, long may that continue. Let's continue that trend.
Absolutely.
And what are your first impressions? When you drove in, did you get goosebumps? How does it feel to actually be here?
Well, I think my first kind of goosebumps moment was walking out that archway, like, towards the trade fair and everything, and I was like, finally, it just hit me. Like, getting here and everything was kind of the whole going to a horse show thing, and then when you get in the stalls and actually go out and see that, it was the first, like, oh, this isn't just a horse show.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you have your mom and you are staying here on the campground, and you've got Lisa here staying upstairs in the stables.
Yep, the whole crew's here.
Cool.
So it'll be good to be on site and not have to worry about negotiating, like, travel in the morning and stuff. It'll be nice to just wake up and do the short walk to the stables and get on with the day.
Great. Well, we'll be following you, and we'll be wishing you lots of luck, and thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Well, and that was her horse, Port Authority, is named Ollie. Barn name is Ollie. And the David they were talking about in that interview was David O'Connor, who is the team coach for the Canadian team, and Stephanie rides for the Canadian team. So it sounded like David got on and tuned her horse up a bit. I loved her comment after that, and of course he rode better after David was on. I imagine that's pretty much true of any horse.
Very true.
How cool
Very
is it
true.
That they're staying on the grounds, huh? How cool is
that?
Oh,
I think it's great. I love doing that when you stay at a competition and you stay right there. And you can like even look out your window of your trailer and see the horses. So it definitely makes things a lot easier. And then as far as playing another clip, Glenn, can we – I'm sorry, I keep hitting my microphone. Can we do another story about the movie?
Yes. You want to do this one?
I will.
Jennifer,
I just have to find
this.
It. So,
yeah. Okay.
Jennifer, what?
Well, I was just going to say, Jennifer watched this clip yesterday, and she was so excited, she almost wished we had HBO.
Yeah, no, I really thought it's really good. If you guys go, we'll try to post it on Facebook. It might take me a while to figure out how to do it, but I'll post this clip. This is a new movie or miniseries, I guess, for HBO. And you know HBO always, they spend so much money on making their movies, like Sopranos and Entourage and all those different series that they do that you end up having to buy on DVD later on, because if you miss one, usually you have to start at the beginning. But this is an HBO in production movie called Luck, and it is in filming right now. It's winding up production at Santa Anita. This is the first of 9 episodes to air this season, and it is about racehorses. Racehorses and Nick Nolte, who's a horse trainer, and Dustin Hoffman, who's an organized crime member, and it just looks really, really good. So let's play the clip, and this is kind of an interview with the director and some of the clips from the movie.
The attraction for me was David Meltzer's brilliant writing.
I don't trust anyone like myself.
It's immersion into a total world, not just of horse racing, but of luck combined with skill that can have the power to change our lives.
I'll get him, Jock.
The racetrack is a place of incomparable beauty, but it's a rough racket.
You don't chirp about what ain't your business.
As a setting for storytelling, you couldn't ask for anything more.
It's my thing.
This is everything from degenerate gamblers to a disreputable trainer to Ace Bernstein, played by Dustin Hoffman.
I think I played it okay.
Ace is a centered, powerful, organized crime figure, which is a character Dustin really hasn't played before.
Got qualms.
I cast Nick Nolte, who plays a Kentucky trainer with a lot of mileage on him, and a shadowy past.
Yes, I still know a peach when I see one.
And he's going to have a second chance.
Action! Most of the crew and I have worked together on numerous films for Luck, going back 10, 15 years. We're motivated by the challenge of innovation. In the horse racing, it's not to observe the racing, but to place the audience with any experience.
That's a rush.
If you watch this clip, you will get goosebumps. It is awesome. It looks amazing. They're showing the filming of the horses going down the track. And not to mention that, you know, we all fell in love with him in Seabiscuit, the jockey Gary Stevens. He is in it as well. Plus, woo, the little guy that plays the jockey, I guess he's the main jockey, Hottie. He is adorable. And the first thing you see is him rolling around with some hot girl. So, you know, you can't argue with horses and good-looking people and sex and mystery and racing. And it's just awesome. I can't wait to see it. I might have to get HBO for it.
I know. HBO has really come through with some miniseries and programs, Rome and a couple of the others. They just have come through. Boardwalk Empire is very popular. And, you know, they just know how to do these edgy kind of shows. And I'll tell you what, when you see Nick Nolte in there as the down on his luck trainer, he looks the part.
Yeah.
And Dustin Hoffman doesn't usually play the mob boss guy, you know, so that's going to be interesting, too.
He's Rain Man.
Yeah, exactly. He's Rain Man. He's not a mob boss. So
no,
we'll
he's Rain Man to me. He looked very convincing, and some other ones. I was trying to remember some other HBO series besides The Sopranos and Entourage, and they had that series Rome, which was intense, and that was, I mean, obviously about the fall of Rome. And then they also did the Deadwood one, which was the movie that was set, it was a series that was set back in the Old West, but man, those people cussed like sailors. So, they definitely get really deep and really dark, and I'm excited to kind of see what happens. I hope they don't portray horse racing as absolutely horrible, but with mob bosses and crooked trainers, it's not looking good.
Well, it is HBO. They do want you to buy their subscription, so I imagine there's going to be a little bit of that involved for sure. Well, let's take a break for our commercial here, and then we're going to be coming back, and we're going to be talking about a more serious topic than we usually do here on the show, but there's a darn good reason for that. And so, Jamie, take it away.
All right. Well, you can visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step ordering process allows you to choose your sign options, and you can see all the pricing up front. And from experience, that is not the case on any other sign ordering company I looked at. You get to see what you're going to pay right up front. You can do add-ons. They have vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall name plates, farm entrance signs, business, school, and church signs. You can get a custom, colorful, personalized stall nameplate for only $29.95. This would be something you design yourself online. There's different colors and graphics, and it's a large 16 inches in size, and it's for indoor and outdoor use. So you can add a splash of color to your barn, your stalls, your mailbox, your camper, your dog kennel, whatever you want to do, put it on there. And I love my farm sign that I have outside, and we have had wind and rain and all sun, and it's still going strong. It looks great. So if you do spend over $100, they have free shipping, absolutely free shipping. So you can check out their website today for details, easysignsonline.com, 1-800-640-8180. That's easysignsonline.com.
And, of course, Easy Signs Online is donating one of those personalized stall nameplates for tomorrow's really bad ad winner. So get those in as well. You know, when we talked, Jennifer and Jamie and I talked a week ago about the number of fires that have been happening all over the country. It just seems to be an excessive amount this year. And number of horses dying in fires. And so we thought we would talk a little bit about fire prevention today. And to give you a couple examples, on March 5th in Perryville, Kentucky, a barn fire destroyed a horse barn, killing more than 20 horses. The entire tin roof of the structure collapsed. The more than 30 firefighters on the scene were able to stop the flames from spreading to a large propane tank and a nearby barn. But the nearly two dozen horses inside the barn were killed. April 6, 2011, in Coleraine Township in Ohio, 23 horses died in a barn fire. The fire tore through the barn at Oasis Farm, destroying the 30,000-square-foot facility that was home to about three dozen horses. Officials said the fire was started by an electrical heater used to keep newborn calves warm. On April 6th in Michigan, it took nine fire departments to fight the flames that consumed a pole barn and ultimately took the life of a Livingston County man early Wednesday morning. Police haven't released much because it's still an ongoing investigation, but a neighbor that they talked to said close friends said that they were told that there was a fire that was, it was kind of electrical in nature, that wiring caused it, but there was a man that died in that fire who had an apartment in that barn. These and about a dozen other stories that I was able to pull up over the last month have happened across the United States, and we just thought it was very important that we talk to somebody about how you can prevent fires in your barn and help protect and save the lives of your horses. So we have Bill, and I'm hoping I'm not butchering his last name, Epic, who is with ProtectoWire.com, and he's with us today to talk about prevention and what you can do in your barns. Good morning, Bill.
Glenn, good morning. Jamie, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you. calling you today here from America's hometown, Plymouth, Massachusetts, and I'd like to give an overview or whatever questions you might have, because this is becoming obviously quite a concern, not only across the country, but in Canada and in many places around the world.
Well, I have to tell you first, before we get into that, we used to live in Plymouth, and there's, you know, besides being absolutely beautiful and having some great restaurants down on the waterfront there, Plymouth, speaking of fire, does the coolest 4th of July parade ever. They must have 1,000 fire trucks in their 4th of July parade. Everyone, it seemed like every fire truck from the state was there, and they're all playing their sirens. So you hear like 100 sirens going during this parade. It's so cool.
Well, that's good, too. And if you might remember the big fireworks display that's right out in our harbor here. Beautiful sight.
Yep, it definitely is. Well, tell us, you know, what are the most common things that start fires in barns?
Well, there are a number of things, Glenn. But first, you know, I think it's important to look at the fact that, yet, you know, some of these statistics you gave are quite alarming. Yet in the mindset of the owners of all of these structures, they just, you know, they couldn't believe what happened to them. So any means of fire detection and prevention is often overlooked, unfortunately, and they leave fire prevention entirely by chance. However, the fact remains, as you alluded to, that, you know, annually there are more than 1,200 barn fires across the country each year, and most of them preventable. They get... We're talking probably in the area of $33, $34 million a year in property damage. You know, that's some pretty serious statistics when you think about it. And yet, only a few states right now, mainly Pennsylvania and New Jersey that we're aware of, have mandated fire codes for their agricultural community or barn structures. And unfortunately, fire protection still remains as a necessary evil to too many owners of barns who think that, you know, well, it can't happen to me. However, you know, that's not a good thing to rely on. Prevention and detection is what we're going to quickly overview today. And, you know, there is a distinction. Detection is a portion of prevention, and prevention itself, of course, in our experience, we've found that most of the common barn fires that start mainly due to electrical problems, overheated, outdated equipment, wrong type of equipment using, spontaneous combustion from hay storage, and a lot of natural causes, although not too many that can be attributed to lightning strikes or anything, but careless smoking and even arson is on that list. So, you know, those are the most common.
Yeah, let's back up a little bit to the electrical, because I think you're right. I think that's where, you know, where I see in all the articles I read the most common. And Jennifer and I each owned two 100-year-old barns in our time. And I think one of the things people think about upgrading their electric in their house to, you know, to modern standards, you know, something that's earlier than the 30s, 40s, and 50s, because they're directly affected by that. They're blowing fuses all the time, and their life, you know, is affected by not having modern electric. But in the barn, because we plug so few things in, we tend to not want to upgrade our electric. Yet in the barn is where the wires get chewed on the most, so you have exposed wires, and you have a better chance of having a fire in your barn from those bad electric wires or old electric. It's just so important to spend the money to upgrade your electric in the barn, put a modern panel in, and change all the wiring out. Plug.
Well, that's for sure. And, you know, like you say, a lot of wiring has probably been in for years and years. And then as time goes on and there are more modern appliances available to a barn owner, such as heaters, coolers, dryers, et cetera, they just keep plugging them in without realizing the extra load that is put on that old wiring that starts causing overheats and eventually lead to fire.
Yeah, and I the other thing is it is a little bit cheaper, actually, to replace the wiring in your barn because it tends to be exposed. It's out in the open. They don't have to rip through walls and, you know, tear down drywall and all that stuff to get to the wiring. So it does tend to be a little bit less expensive to replace the wiring in your barn than in your house.
Well, that's true. And, you know, in this day and age, the with fire codes being developed more and more, not only in the residential but in the commercial and agricultural sector, fire codes are getting a lot stiffer. You know, that a lot of open exposed wiring that we all may have been used to is now required to be in conduit and stuff like that. But, you know, in terms of fire detection for barn applications, a lot of the commercial codes that would seem applicable to commercial installations wouldn't be applicable to a barn installation. You know, the design criteria that people have to look at, because the construction is different, the environment is a lot harsher in a barn with all the dust, dirt, chemical presence, and urine droppings and vibrations from equipment. They're just not the same type of situations that would be involved in a commercial or a residential application that is often overlooked, you know?
Right. Well, and, you know, people tend to have, I mean, we've all been lectured at so long now that we tend to have smoke detectors and things like that in our houses, and I wonder how many people actually have anything like that in their barns.
Yeah, well, it's coming about, though. You know, until fire detection gets mandated by state codes, it's probably still going to continue, unfortunately. But, you know, that's why we got into the market. Not specifically this market, our involvement in detections such as this, and we would classify this as special hazards. In most of our lives, that is, the company Protectoi has been involved for over 75 years in industrial applications. So if you are used to living around cable trays, conveyors, dust collectors, cooling towers, pipelines, bridges, special hazards like that where normal type of detection would be unsuitable, that's where linear detection steps in and takes over. So, you know, we thought, like we did about 8 or 10 years ago, looked at quick example, covered bridges around the country. You know, they're antiques, a lot of counties have them. They were subject to arson and fire, and we went on a major program to provide covered bridge detection, which worked out good. And we think that barn fire protection is the next thing that should be considered, especially with the statistics that are alarming across the country. So while we're not saying that linear detection is the only solution.
Now, you'll have to explain that. You're talking a little bit over our heads.
Okay.
Linear detection?
Let me give you a brief overview. Linear detection is a technology that the company developed back in 1938, just before the World War II started. And essentially, to make it simple, is two steel conductors, two small conductors with a proprietary heat-sensitive material around each conductor. Okay, now that's enclosed in an outer jacket, so the whole outside diameter is approximately an eighth of an inch. So if you could picture this cable now that has a heat-sensitive material between two conductors, a length of this wire is strung out up to 5,000 feet. Anywhere along the length of that wire, if the ambient temperature rises to the melting temperature of the heat-sensitive material, it will melt, and the two conductors come together just like a closed switch, which becomes your alarm point. And you can accurately measure the distance to that overheat. So in its simplest form, it's a continuous length of fire detection. Well, how is it used? Well, in areas where there's a lot of concealment, for instance, in a barn where there's hay storage, we can string it through the stack of bales around on the floor area, around stalls, around the bottom underneath the hay where there might be any overheat or anything develop. But mainly in hay bale storage, but more importantly, along electrical lines, so that anywhere you get an increase in heat, a slow developing heat, which will occur, of course, before any ignition occurs, which will eventually lead to smoke. So it's an early warning device, and the early warning device is what we're concerned with, because it's able to alarm and notify that there's something developing before it reaches to the stages of ignition or an overheat. Now, coupled with that, in a barn application, We would, of course, expect other types of detection, because if you've got large spaces to overheat, by the time, for instance, if the detector was up on the overhead, it would take a long time for any heat to be developed to get up to there. So additional devices such as smoke detectors would be used in their specific areas. You know, a smoke detector in a barn area isn't going to be too useful because of the dust and the contamination. But in kitchen areas, tack rooms, stuff like that, storage areas where there might be fast combustibles like paper and stuff, you'd want to use a smoke detector. Steps beyond that, well, we've installed flame detectors in barns so that, you know, once you see a flame detector or a radiation detector works on the basis of being able to detect visible light, so that the instant a flame does occur as a result of ignition, you can get an alarm. And they work, oh, in terms of milliseconds, to give you an idea of how fast a flame detector would work. But, of course, they're quite an expensive proposition to put in. Smoke detection has seen a lot of advancements over the year now, to the point where there are what's known as aspirated smoke detectors, which is a device that continuously monitors the ambient air by having a pump that sucks air that's in the ambient air throughout the barn area into a chamber that will alert even with the smallest particle of gases or smoke. So, you know, with a combination of in a whole barn area with linear detection in areas that are concealed where heat will develop before it turns to a ignition point, coupled with smoke detectors and flame detectors, you know, you could get into some pretty big money. But on the other hand, as a minimum, with a linear detector strung throughout barn areas that are suspected, where you have a suspect of overheat, you know, at least you've got an alarm that will notify. So detection to draw the line, detection isn't the overall solution. It has to be coupled with prevention so that you wouldn't hopefully ever get to the detection stage, you know.
Right. And Bill, I got to ask you, what if I was to walk into my barn right now, because I think we're getting a little deep, if I was to walk into my barn right now, what are some of the things I should be able to see and go address at that moment? What are some of the most common things you see in fire safety prevention?
Oh, a clean barn, obviously, first of all. You know, you want to make sure that there's no oily rags or trash being packed up and no loose hay. And, you know, hay storage is another thing. Hopefully you don't want to store any hay at the stall level. You want to get it at least up in the overhead above the stall area, because in the event there is an overheat of fire, you know, fire and flame is going to burn upward, and at least you'll have a chance to evacuate horses and stuff. So then, you know, proper hay storage is a very important thing to consider.
I have to say, a lot of people recommend that you do not store your hay in the same barn where the horses are. That's probably a darn good recommendation. However, you know, having owned a couple big barns, I only had one barn. It would have been very expensive to have to store our hay someplace else, because we'd have had to have a second barn built or a shed. But yet, the hay is hugely flammable.
Oh yeah, it certainly is. And you know, there are most normal recommendations you'd find if you have the opportunity to have a second barn, would have it at least 100 feet away, because in the event of a fire, you know, radiation from a flaming barn like that, which takes, you know, 3 to 5 seconds to reach its maximum burning rate, radiates an awful lot of heat that could affect nearby buildings. So obviously the second barn approach would be good, but a lot of folks don't have that, and they couldn't afford it. But as a minimum, if you do have storage within a barn, hopefully it could be done overhead at least. As I mentioned earlier, Jamie, to be able to string, as you stack hay, to be able to string linear detection through it, then, you know, at least when it gets to that point, hopefully that you don't have any wet hay in there that's going to lead to any spontaneous combustion, you could detect when that hay pile is starting to overheat.
Right, right. No, that's definitely a great thing. And I guess, what's the website that they could find out more about that linear wire?
Okay, as far as the linear wire, you can find it on www.protectowire, that's one word, protectowire.com. Now, let me also add that another very, very good source of barn fire information that covers a lot more detail than we're able to discuss here can be found on the website firesafetyandbarns. It's
okay.
One word, Fire Safety and Barns. It's a wonderful website that gives an insight of all aspects of good housekeeping, good horse care in a barn, and evacuation principles, building escape routes, and it's just a wonderful website. But
perfect.
The linear detection that I mentioned is, you know, it's a that coupled with a combination of other things is really something it's worth the thought because, you know, unfortunately we don't like to hear it won't happen to me because, you know, we know it does happen. And, you know, we like
right.
to always say that, you know, life didn't begin as an accident, so don't let it end up as one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Bill, thank you so much for joining us. It is protectowire.com for that kind of the wire, the linear wire, and then firesafetyandbarns.com. You can go through that and kind of see where you're making your mistake. So we do appreciate you joining us so much today, and thank you so much, Bill Epic with protectowire.com.
Well, Glenn and Jamie, thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure. Good day now.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
You know, there's a couple other things there, too, that I wanted to bring up is what I think one of the important ones he said, a couple other things. One of the important ones he said was clean barn. And that includes, you know, there have been fires from the cobweb buildup around your light fixtures. You know, you always get those cobwebs that develop around your light bulbs. Well, what happens is it's not the cobwebs that catch fire. It's the dust that the cobwebs attract, and if they sit there for a year and aren't cleaned, then that can be a source of fire. One of the biggest ones you read about all the time is these portable heaters put into barns. You're putting a portable heater, and every one of these portable heaters has an element, a heat element in it, that's exposed somewhere in there. You get that close to hay and chaff and dust and everything else that you find in a barn, and that's where the fire comes from. So there's just so many things that seem so much common sense, you know?
Space heaters, never a good idea anywhere. I mean, unless you're sitting right there with it, never a space heater. And those things short out in the sockets. The other thing is the box fans, too. You know, you have to be really careful about those. I know that I put them up and don't even think twice about it. But those are things, too. Clear the cobwebs. And I always thought that the cobwebs, it's a good idea to have the cobwebs up there because it'll still trap bugs. Well, see, what happens is that the cobwebs are so flammable, and then you get a little bit of fire, those cobwebs light like gasoline, and then they blow, they unhook from the ceiling and they blow across and they just light everything on fire. So got to make sure you keep everything and keep your wiring up to date and keep your hay away from the barns. I know, Glenn, it's hard to, it can be expensive, but definitely not having it in a hay loft is great for fire safety and for allergies. That would be me.
You know, on that fire safety and barns website, which I highly recommend, it's awesome. It's got such great practical information. One of the things that was on their checklist that I never even occurred to me is when somebody takes care of your barn for you, or if you have one of those co-op kind of barns where everybody shares in the tasks, when tragedy does strike, does everybody in the barn know where the electrical panel is? Does everybody know where all of the spigots are? Could a fire truck even get to your barn? Because, you know, because so many of us have barns that are in the back of the property, little skinny driveway, overhanging power lines that you can't get under to that, you know, the lights that go to your rear and stuff. So definitely go to the fire prevention checklist on that website. I just put it up on the Facebook page and got some great stuff in there.
Well, one of the ones
absolutely.
He mentioned, too, that's in there, too, is, and this happened in the fire in Ohio. The guy managed to save 12 horses, but if you've never thought about or never considered what's a safe way to go into a burning building and get my horses out, he ended up getting burns on him. And none of us has ever really thought about, okay, the escape routes and all the different things you have to think about when you're in a burning building trying to get your horses out. If you've actually planned for that and thought about it ahead, you're less likely to get yourself hurt or killed, and you're more likely to get more horses out. So that's another thing that's on this website, that it, articles on how to safely prepare and plan for a, you know, to get horses out of a barn that's up in flames.
I totally agree, and it's frustrating because I know Bill has a job to do, and that is to sell the wire. I've never even heard of that before, so, you know, I think that may be an important thing, but I definitely think that, you know, prevention, walking in your barn and looking around and going, okay, what do I need to work on? So definitely check out that website, and it's firesafetyinbarns.com.
Okay, and I'll end it on this. Replace the old wiring that's been in there for 50 years. It needs to go. That's the first thing. The panel, the box needs to go. You need to get rid of the old screw-in fuses, and you need to get a proper panel in there, and you need to have that done by a licensed electrician. And, you know, and take a look around for all of those things. That the second thing is, you need to put some kind of fire detection in there. He was right about that. And you can't just put smoke alarms. He's also right about that, because if you're not out there at night to hear the smoke alarm going off, it's not going to help you. Those smoke alarms do need to be tied into a call system to be calling somebody. So the smoke detectors, heat detectors, or the line like he talked about are the best way to do that. And I know it's going to cost you a little money, but so does a burnt-down barn with 20 dead horses. So anyway, I'm done lecturing.
Let's play a song. I need to wake up a little bit. Our song for today is by Templeton Thompson, and she always makes you feel good. I'm so tired of talking about the negative stuff, so let's get a little bit happy. This is for Courtney King Dye, Unstoppable by Templeton Thompson.
I'm so happy, so lucky, I crank it up loud, yeah, it's good to be me. It's so easy to see why everybody wants to be free. 'Cause I'm moving and grooving and dreaming and singing at the top of my lungs. I'm an unfortunate one. Finally found my place in the sun.
Allison Thompson, Unstoppable. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Today brought to you by EasySignsOnline.com. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek. And as we do this time every week now, for the past couple weeks anyway, we moved her from Friday to Thursday because I don't think she could tolerate our behavior at the end of a show on Friday. So we've got Lisa from Chronicle of the Horse to talk to us today a little bit about the Rolex entries. So, Lisa, you there? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. Just learning a little bit about fire safety and prevention. But
that's
right now,
important.
I wanted to, we got to ramp it back up because one more week till Rolex, one more week till Rolex. Whew, I'm so excited. So,
I know.
We
haven't been able to think about anything else.
Really? What are you guys doing for it? Let's hear it. Go. I'm just gonna
well,
let
we just
it.
Had our Rolex preview issue. It officially comes out on Monday, but we got some copies to the office yesterday. So even though I'd already read the whole thing, I've still been poring over it continuously. And just getting our stuff together, you know, getting ready, packing up some camera equipment and making our final plans. So we're super excited.
So who's coming in for Rolex from the Chronicle?
On Tuesday, Molly Bailey, she mainly covers hunter jumper stuff, but she is going to her first Rolex this year, so that's exciting. Molly and I are going down on Tuesday, and then Beth Raisin, who is our editor, she's going to be coming down on Thursday to join us for all the fun and excitement.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was just looking over the entry list here, Lisa, and I'm looking at, and by the way, you can find that at rk3de.org, which, by the way, is the hardest damn name to remember in the history of horse show names.
Yep.
I'm having trouble with that every year. I have to Google it every time. But
yep.
There are some riders from all over the world coming in. We've got from Australia, we have Hamish Cargo, who we're going to have on the show on Monday. We got Clayton Fredericks coming in from Australia as well.
Yep.
Canada, Rebecca Howard, we have our friend Jessica Phoenix. Now, Jessica is showing two horses. Do you think she's really bringing both, Expedition and
I think
Explorer?
She is, yep. She had I think they were both at the Fork, and so I think she's set to go with both of them.
Of course, Rebecca Howard with Riddlemaster from Canada as well. The Canadians are very well represented, as they usually are, but they just
yep.
have a darn good team nowadays.
Yeah, they do, and they already, I mean, there's, what, three of their riders and at badminton right now, too. So they really have a strong contingent. It's just getting stronger all the time, it seems like.
And that's thanks, of course, to David O'Connor being their coach for the last 4 years has certainly helped pull that program together.
Yep, I think so.
Now, there's
so,
some
yeah,
old
there's...
standbys coming in from Great Britain, too, aren't there?
Yep, we have William Fox Pitt, who won last year, although he's not bringing the horse he won on last year. He's bringing a younger horse, but I'm sure he's still going to do super with that one. And let's see, we have Mary King coming over with one, which is always exciting. Oh, it looks like she has two, maybe.
Yeah, I'm showing Mary King with two, Fernhill Urko and King's Temptress, two
yep.
of her horses. Mary King is always fun to watch ride, too, because she's kind of old school. So she is fun to watch ride.
Yep, she is. And then this year, this horse, we have a story on him in our Rolex preview issue. He's called Snip, and it's Joe Meyer's horse, and they came over from New Zealand. And it's a really
Holy
cool horse.
Cow.
I think he's 19.
Wow, 19?
And he's been around badminton like 4 times, and I think been to a World Games as well. And he had an injury last year, and, you know, Joe sort of assumed he was done being 19 and all, but he brought him back out this spring, and he seemed like he wanted to go, so they decided to come.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine pulling your – like, yeah, Dizzy, you want to compete again? Sure, let's go to Rolex from New Zealand. Oh, my God.
Yep.
At 19 years old. Oh, it's a senior citizen. I am totally going to be cheering for him. What's that horse's name again?
The horse's name is Snip, and it's a really cute little, like, 15-3 or 15-2 gray horse.
Even better.
I know. So I'll be cheering for him, definitely.
Oh, for sure.
Speaking of older and legends, we bypassed from New Zealand, Mark Todd, coming
yeah,
back
Mark
to
Todd
Rolex.
Coming again. Yep.
That's so cool.
And then we
There's
have Jane Sleeper, who Jane is 62 this year, I think.
Good God.
61, and she's going to be running around again on her, she has a horse who's 16, UN. They ran around last year, and they've been all over the place, so should be exciting as well.
Jennifer used
to
work for Jane years ago as a working student. She actually survived
the
Jane Sleeper School of Working Students for a couple of years. But, and that's not easy to do.
I've heard that's not easy to do.
That's why she's so tough, Jennifer, right?
That's right. That's where I developed my strong hide, I guess. And my sweeping technique.
Yeah. So what do you guys think?
So,
do you have a favorite?
Well, what I wanted to ask you before we get into our picks and our favorites is, you say you have an entire issue coming out, like the Rolex preview. What are some of the things to not miss at Rolex for those people who are making the journey?
You know, I haven't been, it's been a couple of years since I've been, but the last time I went, like, the shopping is just phenomenal. Just bring more money than you'll think you'll possibly ever need, and make sure you have room in your car or your suitcase or whatever, because there's so much stuff that you haven't seen before and so many good deals and just, like, such a wide variety of things. Every time I've been there, I end up coming home with way more stuff than I should have. But, yeah, it's often good deals. And they say to wait until, like, Saturday or Sunday to really go shopping because a lot of times, you know, things that haven't sold out, they'll sort of start marking them down because they don't want to take all their inventory home with them.
Yeah, that never works for me.
I know.
I find that, first of all, they say, oh, yeah, wait till Sunday afternoon. They're doing the markdowns. And then there's so many people in line that you spend, like, all day in the Bit of Britain tent trying to check out, you know. And then when you do say, oh, I'm going to get that. I'm going to wait till Sunday. And then you go, and it's sold out. So they do say they mark it down. But just be aware that if it's a hot item, it will be gone. And you know what else they do there is actually – like kind of new products. You can see every once in a while a trade show item. I remember one year they did riding pants. And it was this woman who made them. They were $40 a pair, and they were corduroy. Corduroy stretchy riding pants. And they were like, there was 10,000 women in that tent buying all of these corduroy type riding pants. And I still have mine. I bought two pair. And they're like stretchy, you just pull them on like tights, and the corduroy was on the knee rolls, and they also had like full seat corduroy, which was very fashionable and not. It was very slippery too. I'm not gonna lie, and they shrunk. But anyway, the point is, you can find new cool stuff at Rolex as well. So, what else besides shopping can people do?
Well, definitely watch the horses. Cross country day is the most exciting, but I've also found, you know, it's cool to go on Thursday or Friday, and maybe you don't want to watch a whole day of dressage, but, you know, you can watch a morning. And another really cool thing to do is a lot of times you have access to the warm-ups, so you can sit by the warm-up, and sometimes that's more fun, I think, than watching the tests, because you get to see how people are preparing their horses, and a lot of times you'll get to hear them being coached. It's a little bit more behind the scenes, and I think that's pretty cool.
And, of course, you know, they always have demonstrations that go on that a lot of people don't even realize down in – There's an arena that's sort of between the outdoor arena where they do the new outdoor arena and the old indoor arena. They have an arena that they do Pony Club, does games, and there's all kinds of demonstrations that go on there the whole time. And most people don't even realize it's down there. Plus, you have to do the Land Rover. You have to do the Land Rover challenge. You have to drive the Land Rover through the obstacle course. I'm going to get Jamie to do that this year, and we're going to film her doing it. We're going to bring the video along, and we're going to film Jamie driving the Land Rover.
That sounds dangerous.
I've never done that. It seems very dangerous. I mean, I know a million people do it, but I'm just not a daredevil in a car. And then you go, like, on sideways on these things.
You're going to be. It was so much fun. We did it at the World Equestrian Games, and I had a blast. So we're definitely going to get a video of Jamie doing that and post it, because I want to hear her screaming on the teeter-totter.
Another cool thing at the horse park is just that it's there year-round. They have sort of the Hall of Retired Racehorses, and they have like famous thoroughbreds. Yeah, that's really cool. I think they have Cigar there right now and a couple other famous ones. It's just cool to go see them. They do like a little show. They walk them around their little paddock area, and you can – you know, see them, and it's pretty cool, I think.
That's one of my favorites.
The other thing that if you have never watched it, and if you're there on Wednesday or if you can be there Sunday morning, for the jogs, for the veterinary checks that Jamie talked about earlier, show that they're doing it over at badminton today. They are really fun to watch, and it's cool to see the riders all dressed up and decked out, and it's sort of a fashion show for riders. And it really is something that is cool to just sit there. You wouldn't think it would be. You'd think it'd be boring, but it's just kind of fun to see them all dressed up.
Yeah, and it can be very exciting with some of those fit event horses, too.
Yeah, that's true. And
women
of course, raining.
Jogging.
We have raining this year. We have hot cowboys coming in. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting about the raining.
Yeah, that's new this year on Friday and Saturday night.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about our favorites. Who wants to go first? I have mine.
All right, what's your favorite?
All right, so I have my favorites and the ones I'm rooting for. I think that, you know, hot right now out there is Allison Springer. Allison Springer is really hot right now. She's won a couple of events here early in the season. She is actually bringing two horses. She's bringing Destination Unknown and her horse Arthur. I think her and Arthur have to really be a highlight for this event. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but I think we could see Allison doing quite well. Of course, you can never overlook William Fox Pitt. He always brings good horses over here. Mary King is another one you can't overlook.
Favorites, Glenn. Favorites, so you can't get every rider.
All right.
Come
I'm just bringing up some names here. You know what? Favorites for me, of course, is our friend Jessica Phoenix, because we just love her to death. She's so sweet. And I'm going to be rooting for her and Exponential and Exploring. But yet we've had Hamish, an underdog from Australia. How could I not root for Hamish? And we'll have him on Monday. So those are a couple of my favorites. You know who hasn't been doing very well this year is Buck Davidson. Doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, he's had a little bit of a rough spring.
Yeah, so besides wrecking his truck and, you know, things like that, his rides aren't so great either. So we'll see if Buck can pull it out. Jamie?
Well, I would have to say that now that I've learned that Snip is a 19-year-old 15-2-plus hand gray horse from New Zealand, I've got to pull for Snip. Of course, you don't get, you know, much better. Oh, gosh, then, you know, Boyd Martin is just so hot. You can't not pull for Boyd Martin. He's so good looking. I always love to see Philip Dutton do very well, and obviously we love Jessica Phoenix. So those are going to be my favorites, I think.
Lisa, are you allowed to pick favorites? Can we put you
on the spot? I'm allowed to, I think. It's hard, though. I mean, I really, like, I want everyone to do well, but I have to say there are so many young people this year, and I really want to see them all, you know, kind of rise to the occasion. Like Hannah Sue Burnett, she's just done so super with that horse that she has. And there's another, Tiana Coudre, coming from the West Coast. She's only 22, and this is her first four-star. So I hope that she rocks it. And Sinead Halpin, she's one of our bloggers. She's also in her 20s, I believe, and I would like to see her do well. Her horse is also lovely. But it's hard,
I'm looking forward to learning a bunch of new horses and new riders. I think there's a lot of people that maybe we haven't seen before. So I think it's exciting. You're right that there are a lot of new people coming up. There's a lot of, you know, people that classically ride at Rolex every single year. You do have the Buck Davisons. You have Philip Dutton on several horses. So you're going to see those people, but you're also going to see a lot of new faces. And I'm just excited to learn more about the horses. I think you learn so much just by sitting there and watching dressage. Definitely go to dressage at least for a day and sit there and watch these horses. It is the least boring dressage test you will ever see, because these are event horses doing flag lead changes and counter canters and half passes. This is a really upper-level classic dressage day.
Yep.
Even I sit and watch dressage for a half a day. Even
that's saying something. That's saying something.
I wanted to say, too, Lisa, you have a good article right now that just came up today on what do you do when there are no proven treatments for a horse that has problems. And, you know, we've all had that situation. I thought that was a good article. I read that. And you have a bunch of other good stuff on the Chronicle. We're looking forward to seeing you next week. We'll have to do this in person.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll definitely make some time in my schedule to stop by for a few minutes.
Yeah, we'll be live, so plan on stopping by Thursday around 10 o'clock, around the same time.
All right.
And we'll let you know where we're at and get you directions. We're going to be actually in the old indoor where we're right in the middle of the shopping. So that's where they've set us up. So that's
when
where we'll
be. When I take one of my shopping trips, I will stop by.
Yeah, there you go.
One of many shopping trips.
All right, good. Well, thank you, Lisa. Chronicle of the Horse, you guys doing your live blogging as well?
Yep, we'll be doing that. It looks like all 4 days. We had talks of maybe trying to set it up and critique the jog, but we're not sure if that's going to happen quite yet. But we'll keep you guys posted.
And where can they see the live blogging? Where can they find it?
We're going to have a link up on our page, which is www.crownofhorse.com.
All right, terrific. CrownofHorse.com. Follow the live blogging. It's a lot of fun. Are you guys working with Eventing Nation this year?
Yep, we're going to partner with Eventing Nation and also U.S. Eventing Association. So we'll have lots of people on there talking constantly, whoever wants to come join in.
Well, you got all the experts there from the United States talking about the event. That's perfect. Well, thank you very much, Lisa. We appreciate you being with us this week.
All right, thank you.
I'll see you next week. Can't really easily say that. That's cool.
See you next week.
In person,
we're
going
to do our show together. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's pretty cool. So, well, are we going to have Chris on here in a couple minutes?
No,
is she going
to
make it?
I haven't. I don't think she's available. But I want to talk to you about this, and I have the short promo. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I'm not sure. This week has sort of flown by. We had I told you that Courtney King Dye, who took that very nasty spill, got hurt by her horse about a year ago now, and was the one who was in a coma and really caused the whole movement for Riders for Horses and everything that was happening there to get helmet safety and awareness more prominent, and really caused some of the USEF rule changes that happened this year in the United States and are now looking at happening in England as well. It was Courtney King's Dye that really caused all of that because of how traumatic her accident was. And Chris, for the first time, she came out and did an interview, a long interview, on air. So Chris got her on the Dressage radio show this week. She wanted to finally tell her story in person and felt that she could do that well enough. It was a fascinating interview. You're going to find yourself riveted. However, one of the things I would say when you listen to this at the Dressage Radio Show is to not, and I think Jennifer, when Jennifer and I proof all the shows that go out, and I think Jennifer could chime in here, we proof all the shows that go out. So we listen to the Western and Dressage and Eventing and all of those, and you know, we make sure they're correct and there's nothing in there that the company doesn't want to see go out. And we, you know, like everybody else who listens to our podcast, we do other things when we listen. We're doing other things. When I listened to it, when Jennifer listened to this, I walked in on Jennifer. She was not doing anything else. She was glued to those speakers. You can't do something else when you're listening to this particular interview. You're going to have to give it your attention. One, it's because of her speech, and two, because you're just so enthralled by it. Am I lying there, Jennifer?
No, it's fascinating to listen to Courtney tell the story herself, because so many of us who followed her journey to this point, followed it carefully through friends and supporters and her husband. But to hear it from her own mouth, it's just fascinating. And you might even have to have a Kleenex.
Yeah, but one of the things I walked away with was how positive she is staying and how upbeat she is staying and how happy she is with her progress. And, you know, she has made a tremendous amount of progress. And she also got Chris also got to speak to her husband Jason, who came on and talked because he has been the devoted husband through this whole thing. You can only imagine, Jamie, what it's like to be the spouse of somebody who has gone through this much over the past year. That's tough too, you know.
I can't imagine at all. I mean, and then the absolute love and devotion that you would have to take care of somebody in that situation is just intense. So I wanted to know, there is no way possible, maybe there is, that the perfect reporter, Chris Stafford, actually was brought to tears in this interview. Am I right?
No,
or am I wrong?
No, she maintained pretty well. It wasn't that kind of interview, actually. It was pretty positive and upbeat. Wouldn't you say, Jennifer? I don't.
It's only from the point of view of admiration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So let's hear. I have a couple minutes. This is a segment where she talked about her therapy and her therapy horse that she gets to ride. And I just thought this was so cute because it was a Grand Prix dressage rider talking about her therapy horse and how excited she is about it. And I just wanted to play this part. Again, you'll have to listen closely, but we wanted you to hear this.
Well, Courtney, you explained all the different forms of therapy that you're having now, which sounds like a pretty intense program, something every day. Tell us a little bit about those. And you mentioned hippotherapy and aquatherapy. Does that mean you have to get in the pool on a regular basis, and how does that feel?
Yes, I get in the pool once a week, and I do walking in the pool, walking backward, walking sideways, doing splits with loose on the moms. So it feels good because I'm comfortable in the water, but if no one were there to help me, I just go around in circles. Because my left arm would work and my right one wouldn't. And I do hippotherapy, and I go to Vince Ramos once a week. And I ride a horse called Tommy, which I absolutely adore. And I'm really, I think the people at Vince Ramos are perfect. They're so nice and knowledgeable. I'm so impressed. And we just started the horse that fought with me, who's very quiet. So I had the people from Vince Ramos come out and see if she'd be a good therapy horse for me, and she was wonderful. So I've gone 2 times and ridden her 2. So when we go back up north, they taught my grooms and working students how to do it, lead me and stuff, and I know the exercises to do. So when we go back up north, I still be able to ride 3 times a week. So that makes me very happy emotionally as well as being good physical therapy.
So there's just a brief snippet. This interview went on for 45 minutes, and it's now live at dressageradio.com. And even if you're not a dressage rider, this is an inspirational interview, and congratulations to Chris. She handled it very well, and thank you to Courtney for taking the time and the effort. You can see how much effort it takes for her, the effort to do this, and for Jason for dropping in on that interview as well. That's at dressageradio.com, and we have to give this. To Chris, because that was episode number 100 of the Dressage
Woo-hoo!
Radio Show. So
100
episode number 100. Yeah, that was
nice.
Episode number 100. And how fitting it was that Courtney was on that particular episode. So were you surprised when you heard her there, Jamie? What was your reaction?
Honestly, it just kind of hurts my heart a little bit to even hear her, because I know she's fighting back through it, but it just, what it makes me do when I hear Courtney is what it kind of did for the entire equestrian community is really drive home the fact that, please, people, wear your helmet. So much, it's like fire safety is prevention, and, helmet, it's prevention. Hearing that, that's just honestly what I kind of thought of when I was listening to her, but, man, it would be so tough to be in that situation and not just feel sorry for yourself and not just be mad at yourself and not just feel pathetic. And I know when I'm sick, I'm a, like a baby laying in bed. And here's this woman that has sustained a head injury, who is going to physical therapy every single day, who fell off a horse and most people wouldn't get back on, is riding a therapy horse named Tommy, who she loves, and is fighting her way back through it day after day after day and making great strides in her progress. And, I mean, to me, that's heroic. The effort that she has shown to get better and try to get back to her life. So, I mean, I think she's heroic. I think she's a hard worker. I know she was before the accident as well, so it's really probably no surprise to most people that she's battling the way she is.
She spoke about earlier in the interview, earlier than this section I talked to you about, right at the beginning, she did speak about that day, and what she said in there was, she always wore a helmet when working with babies, but this horse was not a baby. This horse was fine. This was an older horse that she had worked with, and this horse was 6 or 7, and she'd worked with it for quite a while. So this was, so she didn't bother getting her helmet, she would tell you now that was obviously the biggest mistake of her life. And she says now, wear your helmet anytime you're near a horse or ride a horse. So, she says that now. But the other thing that happened to Courtney in the last couple of weeks is that her insurance has run out. She is now without insurance for all of this therapy and everything that she's doing. So from now on, they're going to have to pay for it themselves. And she has a long way to go, as you can tell. So there is a fundraiser being organized for her at this point. But, most insurance policies have $1 million cap, and I don't know what hers was, but she's run out of insurance. Does that tell you something?
Oh, my gosh.
So that was kind of scary when we heard that the other day as well. Even if you're not interested in dressage, listen to this interview, and next time you think about going out to the barn and you're going, oh, it's a pain in the ass to walk, halfway across the barn to get my helmet, think of that. And you'll walk across the barn to get your helmet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy,
absolutely.
I feel like I'm just lecturing away today.
You're kind of a Debbie Downer today, I'm not going to lie. I'm excited about Rolex. It's 1 week away. Badminton starts today, and you're like, change the electrical wiring in your barn. Clean up your barn. Wear your helmet. Yeah, you're kind of a little bossy today. So, let's see.
I have my mug. I am the trail boss. I have a right. I am the trail boss. Hey, but tomorrow's Friday. Freestyle Friday. So there'll be no series tomorrow. It'll all be just a joke.
Everybody submit really bad ads, please, so we can laugh a lot tomorrow. But just to give you a little bit of laugh, Jennifer, do you read, like, romance novels or anything like that?
Romance, not so much. No, more of a murder mystery sort.
Okay. I remember, and my mom is listening to this right now, and she's going to cuss me out. I remember my mom and I going to the beach on vacations, and my mother always
never
had to do this.
No,
it doesn't. She knows by now. She always had the latest Danielle Steele novel. Did you know Danielle Steele? It's drama and mystery and romance, and it wasn't
it get
quite
much
the
more
Harlequin
drama, mystery, and romance than Danielle Steele. That's it. She's the ultimate.
Yeah, she's the ultimate as storytellers as far as the drama and the romance and maybe a little bit of booty. So my mom always read those novels. It wasn't quite as bad as the Harlequin romance novels where Fabio is painted on the cover. But I found a fantastic new book, and it is called Kiss and Tell by an author named Fiona Walker. Kiss and Tell. And you listen to that and you think, oh, it's some shirtless guy that's roaming along. No, it's a romance novel. It's called here's the description. A new racy romp through the eventing world has just been released in time for this year's badminton horse trials. Because what says badminton horse trials than a racy romp called Kiss and Tell by Fiona Walker? They say Kiss and Tell by Fiona Walker is a tale of tight breeches and loose morals. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Tight breeches and loose morals. That is my new slogan. I am going to put that. I'm going to put that on a T-shirt. Tight breeches and loose morals. I'm going to sell a million of those. I'm taking them to the trade show. I wonder how many I can get made by Rolex weekend. Tight breeches and loose morals, babies. It says. It goes on to say. Eventing makes a superb backdrop for fiction as it features so many dashing men and attractive girls galloping through glorious English estates by day and partying in the Lorry Park by night. Kiss and Tell stars a blue ribbon eventing couple, and you just wonder, like, did this get written about anybody? But it's a blue ribbon eventing couple, Tosh and Hugo Beauchamp, whose marriage is threatened when a rival... Tosh, I don't know.
Tash?
And Hugo Beauchamp. I don't know how to say it. Yeah, Beauchamp.
It's just funny.
Their marriage is threatened when rival event rider, bad boy Kiwi world champion Lo Strachan challenges upper class daredevil Hugo in love as well as in the saddle. What's up? I have to read this book. Lo Strachan challenges Hugo Beauchamp in the love of Tosh, his wife. And there's plenty of laughter mixed in with the high drama. She says that she's always found event rider, trials, organizers, and support teams a glorious sense of fun. This has got to be the greatest book written of all time. A book about eventing, tight breeches, and loose morals. Sold.
And I love how she picked a Kiwi to be the bad guy. That's perfect.
Oh, yeah. Bad boy Kiwi world champion.
That is perfect. That's set it at Bad Boy, which is going on right now. So apparently tight breeches and loose morals are in vogue right now at Badminton.
We have got to talk to Samantha and find out if she's seen any of the tight breeches and loose morals going on at Badminton. Oh, I got to get that book. Oh.
I have to give a plug to Samantha, too. You can follow all of her. She's been taking a ton of pictures, great pictures, actually. And you can follow all of her pictures and things that she's doing at Badminton right now on Eventing Nation. Just go to Samantha's blog. And she has some great pictures up there of William Fox Pitt and others. And you know what? She takes all those great pictures and those videos with her iPhone. Do you know that iPhones are now the leading camera in the world? More pictures are taken with iPhones and smartphones than regular cameras.
I believe it. My entire YouTube page that I have uploaded horses and students and all that just so everybody can see them is all done on my iPhone. It's so easy. That's the thing. It may not be perfect quality, but it's easy.
Well, we'll see more of those next week when we do our coverage over at Rolex as well. Well, let's wrap it up for today. You can find all of our shows, if you want to listen to them, including the Dressage Radio Show, at horseradionetwork.com. And you can also find us on Facebook at Horses in the Morning, and we're also on Twitter at Horse Radio.
If you want to learn more about tight breeches and loose morals, just go to horseradionetwork.com. No, I'm just kidding. if you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded ones on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning, and we're going to interview Lo Strachan, the bad boy Kiwi world champion, and Hugo Beauchamp. Wouldn't that be awesome? We'll be back tomorrow morning. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Freestyle Friday tomorrow, everybody. Wear your helmet and get your wiring fixed.